You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.
Colossians 3 verse 1, Colossians 3 verse 1. As I was flying into the Congo, the flight, we have to get a flight from London to Paris, and then we change from Paris, and then we go from Paris to Congo. As I was flying near the end of our journey, going into Congo, I was sitting by the window seat, and as I looked out of the window, I see the sun just like brilliant, and it's hitting the clouds, and so it's very clear, and so you see the sun hitting the clouds, and on the little video we made, you can see that, like the intro, the sun is hitting the clouds. That's me filming that from the plane. And so as I'm looking at this view, that you're seeing the clouds from a different perspective, and as you're looking at it, it's kind of in awe, because here is the sun, this massive thing, and hitting the clouds. And usually we're looking up at the clouds, not down. And so as you're looking down at this, it almost looks like, you ever seen that type of cloud where you look like you could walk on it almost? You could walk on it, and the sun is hitting it, and it looks majestic, you could almost say, or heavenly. We understand that heaven is more than clouds, but it invoked that vision. It's just a beautiful sight to behold. But what happens is the plane started to land, and so we go into the clouds. And as we go into the clouds, we hit some turbulence. So the plane is shaking now. And then we come out of the clouds. And as we come out of the clouds, it's very much darker. It's dingy because we've gone through some storm clouds. And so when you come under the clouds, I can no longer see the sun. The sun is not there. I can basically, it's far more gloomy, and there's a storm. There's actually a slight storm going on. And I was thinking about this, how when I thought about it, it's like here you are above the clouds. When you're above the clouds, you see this view, which is clear and beautiful. But below the clouds, you're seeing this view, which is far more dingy. And as I saw that in my spirit, it was almost like, Courtney, you got to get higher. Courtney, you got to go higher in your Christianity. You got to go higher. Wandsworth as a church has to go higher. And so I want to preach a sermon, Get High. And so some of you have been waiting me to say that for a long time, but it's not that type of high. Amen. Yeah, Pastor said it, we can get high. Start texting somebody. Hallelujah. Amen. Colossians 3 verse 1. Let me read it. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Father, I pray that you would speak to us today. Father, let our hearts be good ground. Father, I pray that you would do a supernatural work. Let us not come into your house just to play religious games or, Father, just to fulfill a quota. But, Lord, let us have interaction with you. Father, lift our spirits, those that are downcast, those, Father, that are not where they should be. Lord, lift them up. Father, those that are doing well, show them, Lord God, there's still more. We can still go higher. Father, lift us tonight. We ask you this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said. Amen. Look at someone and say, get high. Get high. Hallelujah. Some of you like that. Yeah. Way too much, man. Let me start by speaking about life. Let me start to speak about life under the clouds. Life under the clouds. In Colossians, it says this. If you were raised, say raised. It says, if you were raised with Christ, and it says, do not seek or set your mind on the things of the earth. And so the Bible is saying that the Christian should live an elevated lifestyle. Life under the clouds, When we're talking about spiritually, this is not good. This is not going to be good, because the analogy I give you is the three things that I observed when I was under the clouds. One is, spiritually, when you are under the clouds, you no longer see the sun. And we're not talking about the sun, we're talking about the Son of God. When you're under the clouds, when I was above, I can see him clearly. When you're under the clouds, you're no longer seeing the sun clearly. You can be in church, you can be religious, you can come from a Christian background, you could be in ministry, you can be married, you can be single, but when you're under the clouds, you are not seeing Jesus clearly. What that means is there's a lack of revelation, there's a lack of knowledge, there's a lack of light, there's a lack of understanding, or should we say you lose your spiritual vision. Let me ask you this question. What is your spiritual vision? Meaning, what's the vision for your life this year in the spiritual things? How many know you can have a vision for business? It's good. You can have a vision for your family. But what about your spiritual vision? Have you lost spiritual vision? Are you where you was 6 months ago? Do you even think about those things of growing spiritually and having a spiritual vision? Many times, this is where life is lived under the clouds. It's where you're not seeing the glory of God. Second thing is, under the clouds, it's far more gloomy. When you're under the clouds, how many know when it's a cloudy day, it's more gloomy? Everything looks a bit dull. If you've ever come back from a hot country and you've come to London and it's like gloomy, everything just looks grey. How many ever had that? You went on holiday, you went to a hot country, everything was like red and vibrant and orange, and you come back and now everything's blue, just grey, and everything looks gloomy. When you're under the clouds, spiritually we're talking about now, what we're saying is this is when life looks gloomy. You know, you can be a Christian, be saved, but if you're under the clouds, everything in your life is going to look gloomy. Because the light of Jesus is not shining on it. Sometimes, have you met gloomy Christians? Have you met gloomy Christians? That they come to church gloomy? They do ministry gloomy? Hey, what's up, bro? Gloomy. Sis, what's going on? Gloomy. I'm not saying you're not saved, you're just gloomy. Because the way you look at things, you're looking at things under the clouds. See, when you're under the clouds, you can't see the sun. But how many know, even on a cloudy day, it's daytime. Even on a cloudy day, the sun still comes up. We still have daylight. But the daylight is coming through the clouds. See, under the clouds, spiritually, when you're living a low life, you're under the clouds. That means when you look at the sun, you try to see the sun, but you're looking through the clouds. That's how some people are. When they're looking at God, they look through their problems. You're looking at God for your problems and so, yeah, Pastor, I know God is good, but I ain't got no man. Isn't it? We're like, listen, you're saved. You've got the man of man loving you. No, you don't understand, Pastor, man. I need a man. I mean, you know that. When you're looking at Christ, we're looking through the clouds. The last thing that I see, life below the clouds, is that this is where the storms are. This is where the storms are. See, when I was above, there's no storm. But really, there was a storm. As I go through the clouds and I come out the other side, now it's starting to rain on me. See, these are where your storms are going to rain on you. If you live a low life, that storm is going to blow your life all over the place. That storm is going to have a major effect upon you. If you'll be caught in a storm, when we was in Congo, the first night it started to rain. Just before I go up to preach, it started to rain. They got this tin roof. When I say it was like, it felt like there was 100 drummers on the roof playing the the whole place was they were singing, we couldn't hear them. Under my breath, I'm like, I'm just about to get up and preach. I rebuked it in the name of Jesus. I said, God, I know somebody might need the rain, but just stop it for now here, because we don't need it right now here. And so by God's grace, it just stopped. and I got up to preach. You can ask the guys, and after we preached, it started again. How many know God is good? God is the Lord of Lords, sovereign, man. Speaks over the wind and the rain and the sea. And so, but listen, it was coming down. It was soaking around the church because they built something. It was like a river was going around the church. People were walking in the rain, soaking, drenched. That's how it is when you live the low Christian life. You're beneath the clouds. When it rains, it rains on you. Everything in your life is going to get soaked. Everything in your life is going to be drenched by this thing. You're going to be hit by the storms of life, soaking. Coming to church is soaking. I remember one time when I had to walk to work. I was walking to work. I used to have to walk for 10 minutes from the station to the work. And it just started raining as I got off. And it's one of those days where there's no jacket and no umbrella. And it just, as soon as I started walking, it just started raining. And it just whoosh. By the time I got to the office, I was just drenched. You ever been drenched like that? That's why I hate the rain. If it's cold, you can just get warm. If it's hot, you can just take something off. Well, not too much, but you know what I mean. But when it's rain, when it's wet, what are you going to do? It's affecting you. Listen, let's do a diagnostic on ourselves today. You understand what it means? It means let's look at ourselves. Let's analyze ourselves to see where we are. We're saying you no longer see the sun's glory. You no longer feel his heat warming you, encouraging you, the joy of the Lord. This is where you look. Everything starts to become gloomy. You look at God through the problems. This is where the storms of life are really having a major effect upon you. I want to tell you, you're living life under the cloud. And there's people in this room right now. You look good, smell good, dress good, but you're living life under the cloud. And God says to you, listen, it's time to go high. It's time to get high. God doesn't want you to stay there. See, the high life is to be spiritual. That's what we're talking about here. The high life is to be spiritual. How many know we need to be spiritual? See, when we say spiritual, some of you be like, yeah, I know that. I know that. But for you, listen, to be spiritual is harder than it sounds. Listen, some of you, you're not nodding because you ain't tried. We need to pray for you. Those of us that are trying to live spiritual, we know this thing ain't easy. This thing ain't easy. Being spiritual, like living life above the clouds, below the clouds, is where every storm is hitting you. Above the clouds is where you see clearly. This is difficult. You know why? Because there's many things in this life pulling us down. Want us to come down to their level. We got Satan, there's people, there's the world trying to pull us down and bring us down to the level of the world. Think of Adam and Eve. Here's Adam and Eve. And we know when God made Adam and Eve, they're flying high. The Bible says they're chilling with God in the garden. Imagine chilling with God. Like you're just chilling with him. Chilling with Yahweh. Chilling with Elohim. Just chilling with God. Like you can just ask God anything. Like, God, what's going on with that? God's just like, yeah, that's what's going on. Wow. The Bible says that the voice of the Lord was walking in the cool of the day. Like God was just like, yeah, it's cool of the day. And then, obviously, they sin. But here they are, and then all of a sudden, beneath the clouds. One time above the clouds, beneath the cloud. I was thinking about this because how did they get there? We know that Satan starts talking to Eve. How many know you can be above the clouds and then someone comes along to try to bring you below the clouds? How many know that? There's some people out there that you can be above the clouds, but Satan starts speaking to Eve, bringing certain things into her attention that just don't need to be. How many know sometimes we just don't need to know some stuff? There's some people, you could be in church and then someone wants to bring you into some beef. Listen, I didn't come here for no beef. How many know that? I come in for church and people were, hey, do you hear about so-and-so? Do you hear what's going on with so-and-so? Hey, what's happening here? Listen, I don't need to know what's happening here. I just need to know what Jesus is saying, man. I don't need to know about this or about that. Because listen, that's how the devil operated on Eve. I don't need to know no one's history. It, just that they're here today, that's enough for me. I don't know. I don't care how they got here, what they did last week or last month or any. Listen, they got here. They can get to the altar. We can fix it. That's all I need to know. Someone want to bring you into something. You're in church. You had a good time. And then you leave church. Someone calls you up. Hey, so-and-so said something about you. Trying to pull you down. What? Who said what? You're going beneath the clouds now. You're going beneath the clouds. They want to bring you down to their level. You look on their Facebook or you look on their Instagram or you look on their WhatsApp and there's Kermit the Frog saying, yeah, you know, true friends don't do. And you know who they're talking about. You've got a struggle. That thing is dipping below the cloud. Pull it up. Pull it up. Pull it up. Stay. Things are going to try to pull you beneath the clouds. People want to try and influence you and, you know, distract you, show you nonsense. You're in church, someone wants to show you like someone in Junction is riding a bike, their pants fell off. Hey, look at that. Listen, I don't want to look at that. Because there's always going to be something that's going to try to pull you down. Eve listens to Satan, and you know what Eve does? She gives it to her husband. She pulls her husband down. Listen, sometimes people are going to pull you down, trying to pull you down. Even the people that love you sometimes can pull you down. Pull you down. Listen, you guys are looking at me like it doesn't happen, but in your head you're saying amen. The person that loves you can pull you down. Eve pulls Adam down. How many people can get you mad? You've had revival. Pastor, Garrett King, he had come here, he does revival, men's D, parents D, he did every single D. People are revived, and then you've had the best service, and then someone gets you mad. The other day, we had the baptism service, high attendance, people baptized, wonderful. The water was a bit hot for a while, but, you know, it cooled down, God is good. And then I remember going to my car and good times, and I think it was that day or maybe the Sunday before, I can't remember. And as I was pulling out of the road at the side there, I'm just driving in the road. This little young guy just walks in front of the car, like slow, like taking his time. And he's got his girlfriend with him, just walking in front of the road. I'm like, come on, man. And then as I'm driving, I'm like, come on. He says something like, so I rolled down the window. So he's past me now. I said, sorry? What did you say? And so my wife is like, babe, we've just come from church. We've just had a great time. She's like, what if someone in church sees you? I'm like, you're right. I had to just pull that baby back up again, man, because I was about to. You know, just with his girlfriend. Listen, you can have wonderful revival, revelation, and then a call comes, a text comes. You lose your job. Someone's sick. Kids are playing up. I want to tell you there's things that are going to try to pull us down. See, what the devil does is he makes Eve sensual. Meaning, to be sensual means to gratify the senses. He tells Eve to be sensual. This word sensual means to be led by your five senses. So your sight, your smell, your hearing, your touch, your taste. These are your five senses. And so the devil says, look, that would be nice to eat, man. Look at that. That'd be juicy. He's feeding her sensuality and she becomes sensual. I want to tell you, sensuality brings you low quick. You're flying high and you start to lean on your own senses. You become sensual. I was just doing a bit of research on sensuality in our culture. I came across this website. It's not a Christian website. It's like a woman's website. And so I was reading it. I had to be careful. You just got to be careful. Amen. I don't know what to fall doing research. I was just researching, Pastor. No. You got to be careful. But this is what the woman writes about women being sensual. She's encouraging it, obviously. And so she says, sensuality starts with a heightened awareness of pleasure. When you just want pleasure. He says, studies have shown that women who are especially sensual have lived for the moment and not stuck in the past or preoccupied with the future. They take pleasure in life moment by moment, delighting in the fullness of each experience. It sounds nice. But you know what she's saying? She says they don't learn from the past. A sensual woman, she don't learn from the past, and she has no vision for the future. She's just living for now. So if she meets her brother right now and he makes her feel good right now, then yeah, all right. I said all right, like she'll go out with the guy. And she's sensual. The Bible says, listen, you better think of where you're going. How many know you better know where you're going? You better think of your future. You can't be just like, yeah, it feels right now. No, there's a lot of things that feel right now. But if you deal with it, it's going to hurt you later. When we was in Congo, we stuck to the doctrine. This is the Courtney Lowe doctrine. When you're traveling and we don't know what's going on, we just eat chicken and plantain. We literally ate it every single day. I got sick one time. I would have ate everything. I would have ate it. Listen, maybe you would have survived that. Steel belly. But listen, no, don't be tricked. And so one shop we went into, we walked through the shop and there's cakes. And Ulu will tell you, man, and Everett, these cakes were nice. These cakes, they look nice. But I was like, I'd eat that today. And by the night, but hey, didn't they look nice, Ev? They look nice, man. Listen, there are things in this life that looks nice. And you're going to taste of it. And before the morning, spiritually, it's going to make you sick. There's men that look nice. That man's going to make you sick. There's woman that looks nice. That woman's going to make you sick. Listen, there's things in this world. If you're living for the senses, you're sensual. In this thing, this is what she says. She says, abandon yourself to joy. Ditch conformality and being reserved. Dress sexy with your sensual senses on overload. You'll glow with the radiant confidence of an enchantress. You truly are. An enchantress, that's someone who casts enchantments. That's someone who casts spells. It's a posh way of saying you're a witch. That's what an enchantress is. She says your vibrant feminine spirit is not only sensual, it creates a powerful magnetic pull that draws men to you like bees to honey. Now, some of you, let me say this now, you know what's happening? Is that this is your Bible. This is your Bible. This is influencing some of you to dress sensual, to be sensual. You better understand, and let me speak to ladies right now. You better understand this culture is sensual. It's trying to make you a sensual woman. To dress in a way which is sensual. To act in a way which is sensual. I didn't make this thing up. This is on a website for women. It's encouraging women. It's celebrating this. This is anti-scripture. This is anti-scripture. What happens is you're flying high and then you're distracted by the senses becoming sensual. He told us in Colossians, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth. It may look good and feel good, but I want to tell you, it will take you under the clouds. You know, the Bible speaks about, let me just touch upon this a little bit more, sensuality. The Bible says, we're studying in our connect groups the fruit of the Spirit. The Bible speaks about, in Galatians 5, that sensuality is a fruit of the flesh. Sensuality is a fruit of the flesh. That's what it is. And so the problem is there are some men of God that like sensual women. They're up in the house of God and they'll preach, women, but really in their heart, they want a sensual woman. They encourage a sensual woman. A sensual woman rolls in the church, she saved a second. That's the one. Hold up, there's good women in this church. Good women that dress righteous, act righteous, godly women. How come you don't want none of them? Oh, there ain't no woman in it. What? Because in your heart, bro, listen, this thing is very destructive. The Bible says in Galatians 5:25, if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited. That means self-confident, like, yeah, I've arrived. How many know no one ain't arrived? I ain't arrived. Because the moment you let go of this thing, it's going to go down. I might be flying right now above. If I let go of this thing, I'm going right down below the clouds again. Every single person here, that is exactly. It says conceited, and it says we shouldn't be provoking one another. We should not be causing others to sin. We should not cause others to sin, envying one another. See, what we need to do is we need to get high. And I was thinking how we need, some of you here, you realize, you know what? You're getting what you want. You're doing what you want. But the problem is you're living life beneath the clouds. And eventually, remember all the things I said? You can come to church for 20 years and really still not see Jesus. You could be in the nursery. Could be an usher. You can rise up through the ranks because you're very organized, but that doesn't mean that you're seeing Jesus. You could even rise up the ranks and be sent out as a pastor and still be living beneath the clouds. You get what you want, you do what you want. Yeah, you're your own boss. But remember, beneath the clouds, life is gloomy. And when those storms hit your life, it really does affect you. There's no real victory. How many know we need to get lifted? We need God to lift us up. See, in Isaiah 40, verse 31, look what it says here. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. How many want wings? How many know we need wings? See, do we have that image that I sent in? I was thinking about this, and we're going to get a bit science. Science. Look at someone and say science. 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 This is how a wing works. This is an airplane wing. Most of these wings are modeled from birds' wings. We need God to lift us up. How do we get lifted? He says he's going to give us wings. Basic aerodynamics. I sound really clever right now. Anybody here studied aerodynamics? Praise God, I'm going to sound really clever. No, heretic. This is, basic aerodynamics is this. The wing is shaped like that, and this wing, what it does, it causes two things. It causes the air pressure above the wing, because of the shape of the ring, to lower, and it causes the pressure under the wing to increase, and that causes lift. And then at the end, you can see, this causes the downward propulsion. That's simple how it works. When I was looking at this today, I was like, guy, I don't know if I want to go on a plane, man. They're just, basically, they say, if we speed up, this the air is just lifting this thing up. And it's mad. And so this is how it works. That shape of the wing is making the pressure above lower and the pressure beneath higher. And I was thinking about this, and this is really an illustration of how we are going to really be lifted, is that for your life to lift up above the clouds, you're going to have to decrease the pressure between you and God than the pressure between you and the world. And what I mean by that is that what you have to do is there's beef between you and God. See, when Adam and Eve sinned, between them and God, there's a lot of pressure. Not pressure as in atmospheric pressure, but meaning that relationship has a lot of pressure now. There's a lot of tension. We think, oh no, God doesn't care. No, God hates sin. He says, many times, you know what? Our lives are the opposite. We're pleasing the world and we're not pleasing God. The world ain't got no pressure with us. The world is celebrating us. Yeah, do that. Act like that. Live like that. But God is looking at us and saying, what's going on here? If you want your life to be lifted, you're going to have to say, you know what? The pressure between me and God, that's got to ease. I've got to start working on my relationship with God. I need to decrease the pressure between me and God. See, the only way for us to decrease the pressure between us and God is for us to be humble. You see, the Bible says this. Look what it says in Psalms 147, verse 6. It says, the Lord lifts up the humble and he casts the wicked down to the ground. See, when the relationship between you and God, when there's humility, God lifts you. When there's pride, when that pressure is built up between you and God, the Bible says you go down. Listen, you can be saved, coming to church, but because of your pride, you're not being lifted. You can know a lot. You can know me well. You can function in ministry, but because of pride, you're just not being lifted. It's pride. Because what pride does, it makes us inflexible. See, God says this, once you humble yourself, once you lower the pressure between me and you, there's no beef no more between me and you, he says, you'll start to lift. You'll come above the clouds and you'll start to be lifted. It's as simple as that, humility. Can we be spoken to? Can we be corrected? Can we admit our sin? If someone says something to us we don't like, can we just, never mind. Or do we go, how dare they speak to me? It's pride. Pride. With that pride, you know, the thing is this. You can be running fast, but until God gives you wings, you're just running on the ground, wearing yourself out. God has to lift you up. God has to lift you up. See, today, God wants to bring you through, but he says there's got to be humility. You know what God does to prove our pride? He keeps making the same problems erupt. He keeps bringing us to the same place again and again and again and again. Sometimes, have we not got tired of going in a circle? God's like, it's time to lift. It's time for me to lift you up. Listen, if you're here today and you haven't accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that's the first thing. You've got to reduce that pressure between you and God. The second thing, even as Christians, you know what we need to do? If you want to reduce the pressure between you and God, repent. Just repent. Just repent. Confess and repent. Say, this is wrong. It could be as small as an attitude. This attitude is wrong. Just confess it. Stop fighting it. Just say, this attitude is wrong. God's been speaking to me about this attitude. For 20 years, some people about God's been dealing with me. Stop dealing with God. Just say, look, just confess it and repent of it. Say, listen, I just don't want to do this no more. You'll be lifted so quick. So quick. You're like, God, I need you to move. God is like, I need you to repent. See, when we're willing to lay down and just say, God, you're right. I need this. You know, I've been saved 20 somewhat years. Pastor Fred has been my pastor a year. Pastor Peter's in America now. I've known Pastor Fred a little while. I'm 46 this year. 4 years' time, I'm 50. You know, come on, man. You got to know something, innit? Get to 50, you still don't know nothing. Something's wrong. How many know something's wrong? When are you going to, I mean, you ain't got long to go, so you better start knowing some stuff. But when I speak to my pastor, I always say, Pastor, if I'm wrong, just correct me. Show me. If I'm wrong, show me. If you see another way, show me. You know why? Because I realize I got to stay humble. Some of you don't say that to nobody. Not me. Listen, that's your own business, man. It's not that I need you to say it to me or want you to say it to me. Don't even put me in this equation. But you don't say it to nobody. Am I wrong? Am I wrong the way I'm doing this? Am I wrong in my marriage? Am I wrong as a wife? Wrong as a husband? Wrong in my parenting? Wrong with my money? When we was in Congo, I was hanging out with my wife always says you say it wrong. Olu. Thank you. Olu. Olu. The guy was mocking me in Congo the way I said it. I said, say my name. He went, Cockby. There you go. Now you know my... and I even said to him, that's wrong. He said, no, that's right. No. He was telling me that, you know, when he got saved, the way he was making money probably wasn't the best godly way to make money. Let's just put it there. How many know we all got a testimony? And so he had to change the direction of his life, and things are going on. He's making money. He's got family. He wants to do things. And he said, you know what he had to do? He said, one day I preached a sermon and I said, listen, if you want to make money, look at people who are making money and ask them how they're making it. That's one of the, I just probably said it like a flippant thing. I just bounced off my tongue, went on rambling. And he said he stuck in his mind and he was like, you know what? Yeah, I need to do that. He said it was a bit humbling. But he said he went to his friends and be like, yo, what do you mean money? And they started telling him about programming and this and that. Said, okay, I'm going to get into that. And now he's doing well. He's got his own contract and God is moving in his life. Listen, sometimes we got to humble ourselves. God is saying, I lift up the humble. I lift up the humble. I lift up the humble. If you're living beneath the clouds, you know what it is? It's pride. It's pride. No, Pastor, it can't. It can be, because it has to be, because God lifts up the humble. See, as we humble ourselves and we're lifted, now we can see Jesus. Above the clouds is where you see Christ. Things are going to become so clear. Where you see Christ and you feel the warmth of his love. See, beneath the clouds, it's gloomy. Above the clouds is where there is a direct, no filter. God is speaking to you. God is shining on you. You see his glory. He's interacting with you. When I came in today, people were like, Pastor, you got a tan. I mean, no, I didn't get this tan here. If you don't know, now you know. Because there was hardly any clouds. I'm out. Shh. The sun is interacting with me and changing me. And you can notice the change. See, beneath the clouds, you don't get no suntan. When you're above the clouds, this is what we're saying is that when you're above the clouds, this is where Jesus is hitting you. And everywhere you go, people can see you're changing. you look different. Something has happened to you. Something has happened to you. This is not just a feeling. This is when you go back home and in your marriage, people are like, something's happened to you. You're changing. This is when your kids realize you're changing. People go, like, ah, my kids, my... Listen, when you change, are people seeing that? Bible says when Moses went up the mountain, what happened? He come down. He had been with God. People had seen he'd been changed. Listen, you will not change just attending church. How many know we've met some of the most wickedest people in our family? Some uncle or auntie that's always been to church, but they're the biggest gossip on the planet. Biggest gossip on the planet. Wicked people. But they know the 21st Psalm verbatim. Could say it backwards, that forward, everything. The reality is, you don't change through just coming to church. You change when the sun starts to hit you. When you beheld his glory. Humility lifts you above the clouds. This is where you're above the storms, not beneath the storms. This is when you're above the storms. Listen, every single one of us has storms in our lives. The only difference is, are you above it or beneath it? Every single one of us has storms. There's not one person here. How many know when we go through something, we think we're the only ones? Every single person here, from losing a job, from trouble with health, problems in marriage, losing a loved one, bereavement, every single person here has been through something that you've been through. Two people can be at the exact same place on the planet. One is just beneath the clouds, one is just above the clouds. When you're above those storms, they're beneath you. See, some of you might be asking, God, get me out of this storm. And God is saying, no, you need to ask me to get you above this storm. Where you can see it, but it's having little effect on you. You can see the storm, but it's having little effect on you. It's down there somewhere. It's down there on your priorities. It's like, yeah. Today we want God to lift us. I want to come through these clouds. You know, the thing is, last thing, if you know anything about flying, every time you go through clouds, there's turbulence. Right now, God is trying to lift you, and right now there's a resistance. There's turbulence. I'm scared. If I really humble myself, really commit to spirituality, lay aside sensuality and pride, the devil's lying to some of you right now. Right now, there's turbulence. God is saying, just keep going. Keep going. Keep going. I'll bring you above it. I'll bring you above it. It's time to get high. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by the sermon to reach the lost and make disciples. For more information on what we do and who we are, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.